This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening. And welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we will be discussing how many deaths by the police since Chauvin's verdict. Now, we know that a lot of our people have been killed since then. So do you think it's increasing? Well, we know it is increasing, and it's not going away. It doesn't seem that it's going away. And since Derek has been found guilty on all counts, there has been a list of persons who have been killed by the police. And Micaiah Bryant was the 16-year-old swinging a knife during a fight with another person in Columbus. And it was that she was the one that called for the police. But at any rate, she was the one that ended up dead. Then we have on Wednesday morning, that following day, a deputy fatally shot and killed a black man while serving a search warrant in eastern North Carolina. An eyewitness said that, and this was another person here, an eyewitness said that Andrew Brown Jr. was trying to drive away and that the deputies fired at him multiple times. In the San Diego suburb of Escondido, police said an officer fatally shot a man who was apparently striking cars with a metal pole. On Thursday, a funeral be held for Dante Wright. I think that's gone already. But a 20-year-old black motorist who was shot during a traffic stop this month in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, just a few miles from the courthouse as the Chauvin trial unfolded. In Chicago last month, 13-year-old Adam Toledo was fatally shot less than a second after he tossed a gun and began raising his hands as an officer had commanded him. If the officer told him to raise his hands, why did he have to kill him? I mean, we know that he threw the gun away. At any rate, he was shot and killed. Then we have Kim Potter, a white police officer who has been charged with second-degree manslaughter in Wright's shooting. The former police chief said Potter mistakenly fired her handgun when she meant to use her taser. There's a lot of questions on that one. Potter resigned from the force, after which she resigned immediately. And then we have Anthony J. Thompson, Jr., who's 17, who was 17, in Tennessee, was shot dead in a high school bathroom by officers responding to a report of a student with a gun. During a scuffle with officers in the restroom, the student's gun went off and the officers fired twice. On average, 3 people per day have been killed by law enforcement since testimony against Chauvin had begun. So let me throw it out there. What do you think? Is it going to get better, especially since the verdict came down on Chauvin guilty, guilty, guilty? Did we even think that it was going to be different because of that verdict? What do you think? Well, we'll find out. Right now, I'm going to introduce my co-host, Mr. Coleman. How you doing?
Good, Jenny White. Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How was the graduation?
Good. Sasha graduated today, my youngest daughter, and graduation from Michigan State was great. It was a little chilly. We were all in the parking lot. They had the graduations, and I think they had other graduations in other parking lots as well. But it was different, but it was
okay. Good.
She graduated.
Okay. That's a good thing. She's a good girl.
Yeah, thanks, Yes, she is. Graduated in supply chain, and she'll be moving out of state in July, accepted a position down in Texas.
Oh, everybody seems to be going to Texas. I don't know what they have going down there. Huh?
Seems to be popular.
Yeah, I don't know why, you know, but it is what it is. A lot of people are going down there. So, okay, we're going to get back to our topic for tonight. How many deaths have we had by police since Chauvin's verdict? From what I can see, it hasn't stopped. And I mean,
no,
it seems to be
picking up.
Yes. Accelerated for real. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, I think that, I don't think this is anything new. I think that it's been going on. I think now we just have more camera footage, and most of these departments are mandated to wear body cameras. Not all of them do, and not all of them turn them on. So, I don't think that every police department I don't think it's mandatory for all police departments. But
The cameras?
The body cams, yeah.
I thought all of the police had them.
I don't think all of them do. I mean, I could be mistaken, but I don't think all of them do. But I think that it's something that's been going on, and it's a culture. It's a culture.
Yeah.
The Chauvin verdict, you know, is just one verdict that they got right. But, you know, I was reading, it's just so many to keep up with, you know, black and brown people unarmed in most instances, you know, being murdered at the hands of police. I was reading about an arrest that was made on a 73-year-old woman in Colorado that had dementia, and she had gone into I think it may have been a dollar store, and walked out with $14 worth of stuff. you know, and so they called the police, and police ended up arresting her, and it was pretty rough, and they dislocated her shoulder.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know,
heard
the
about that.
Officers later were joking about it, especially the one that did it. You know, you want to hit a pop? You want to hit a pop? You know, looking at the video of it. And so I read today that all three of them resigned.
They resigned instead of being fired. Now, let me ask you this. Everybody seems to be resigning now. So is that to keep their pensions, or won't they get them because of their behavior? Or, I don't know. Do they get their pensions?
Short of being convicted, you know, of a crime, I think that, you know, they keep their years of service, you know, and they go to another department and continue working. And so I think that that is the, I think that that's what most of them think, you know, hey, we'll just quit and we'll get a job somewhere else, you know, and hopefully this goes away. Well, you know, they don't get convicted, so it's
they can still be convicted. They have.
Oh yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just because you run and resign real quick doesn't keep you from having to go to court.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. So it's kind. You know, I don't know.
I mean,
when will it stop? When will it end? Will it end?
Well, I mean, there's going to have to be some very, very intentional efforts, you know, such as, you know, and Joe Biden is trying to institute some, you know, with, you know, the new policing bill that he's putting forth. But, you know, he was also the author of the bill on mass incarceration, you know, the crime bill back in the late 90s.
Right, when he was a senator.
Yeah, when Clinton was president. So I guess he's trying to right his wrongs.
Go ahead.
What? No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think, this is just me, but I think when he decided to run, since he's been in the government for, what, over 30 years, and he knows mostly everybody, and I thought, I'm thinking that he possibly could have thought it was going to be an easy ride.
Who?
But Biden, the minute he picked that black woman, his thing went down. Because for some reason, I don't think men, well, white men, and I may be wrong, but I don't think they like women. I'm not saying just black women, because the way they're treating our governor is just horrendous. And when he came down, when Biden came down, when he was, you know, had to do a speech with the Congress, and he walked down the aisle, and I forgot her name. One of the Republicans gave him a fist bump.
Oh, Liz Cheney.
Right. And all the Republicans jumped on her.
For that?
Yes. Yes. For acknowledging that he is the president of the United States. Those Republicans are so stuck under Trump's behind that it's really sick if you think about it. How could they care so much? Well, I think what it was, and this is me, my comment, because this is my opinion, that it was, you know, always hovering just a little below racism, I'm talking about, just a little bit below the surface, and no one really came out. You know, they knew how they felt, but when Trump got in there and let his white supremacy show, the Republicans have gone crazy ever since. They are really racist, and I don't care what they say.
Well, I mean, you know, they've been that way.
That's what I said. Just below the surface.
Well, you know, they had the Tea Party. You know,
mm-hmm.
that was a part of it. They had the Tea Party, and then they, you know, and then when Obama was voted in.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the worst thing. Yes.
Yeah, they were real disrespectful then, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Got senators talking about you lied, you know, in the chamber, Senate chambers at the State of the Union. And
yeah, but you know what? I fought him because immediately he should have told security to get him out. He should not have taken that. But, I mean, I understand. But he should never have allowed someone to speak to him like that. So these people think they can say anything, do anything. And did you see how they threw the black guy, the only black senator, the only black senator? Did you guys see how he had to do the – not necessarily a rebuttal, but after he came after Biden's speech, and so he had to come and he had to talk about, you know, everything was wrong. He said America is not a racist country. And see, they knew, he knows, you cannot tell me that black man has not at some point being looked upon as the N-word, I shall say. I don't believe that him growing up black, that he hasn't had racism. Somebody acted, you know, kind of bad with him, called him names. You can't tell me he didn't. But for him to get up there and down, I know he did. And he downed Trump. Then America is not a racist country. Where you been? Where have you been?
Well, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden said it's not racist.
Oh, they
it's both
not?
They told that lie, too.
Oh,
that's
well.
What they said.
That America is not racist?
Yeah, that's what both of them said.
So what is she supposed to be?
What, America? I don't know.
Yeah. If she's not racist.
I'm going to have to step away from the mic for 1 minute.
Okay, no problem. And we will take a break. And this is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, president and CEO of Butcher's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White Show.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
Sofa Talk podcast will consider Spurgeon's morning and evening devotionals, which deal with all of the things that we are fearful and anxious of, like job, family, and our country. Plus, we will take your prayer requests. Join us on upcoming episodes Monday through Friday for Sofa Talk at anchor.fm/russell-sherard. That's anchor.fm/Russell-Sherard.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work, but what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with identity theft protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
Wow. Okay.
We're back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White Show.
Back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. And we're discussing about the death by police since Chauvin's verdict, and we're just I don't know, just crazy. Us, the People magazine said, since start of Derek Chauvin's trial, the United States police have killed an average 3 people per day. Per day, 3 people. And they said at least 64 people have died at the hands of law enforcement since March 29th, according to New York Times. So how many of those would you say were black and brown people? Nobody? What do you think,
well,
co-host?
Well, you know, it's hard to put a number on it until, you know, you look at the stats, you know, specifically looking for that statistic. But, you know, it's exhausting.
Yes, it is.
Being black and having to, you know, not only every day is something, but three times a day is something. You know, and then you have to worry about your kids. You have to worry about yourself.
That's true. That's true.
You know, and so it's very exhausting. And then, you know, a lot of times, you know, I find myself in places where it's either I'm the only one or it's very few of us. You know, just like the graduation today at Michigan State, there were 300 students that graduated today in the supply chain curriculum, and I only saw three black students.
Three out of 300?
And my daughter was one of them.
Oh,
and so.
Whoa.
You know, it's an audience of people with masks and, you know, some people got them under their nose. One white man was sitting there. The person he was with, the lady he was with, had a mask on, but he didn't have one, you know, and it looked like he dared somebody to say something to him about it, you know, older man, you know, and... You know, so when we went to leave, you know, I saw another, you know, black man, black lady. But out of all the people that were there attending the graduation, you know, it wasn't a lot of us being represented. So that just goes to say, you know, talk about the disparity not only in education, but in a number of systemic ways that we're kept out of certain places and certain things. And so we have to be united in our efforts. And in so doing, we have to really be intentional with making certain that there is a change when it comes to not only the police department, whether we reform it or defund it. And I've heard talk about when it's gone to be reformed in the past, you know, that just means give them more money, you know, and things, you know, stay the same or get worse, as opposed to defunding them. It, that means taking a portion of their money and putting it in a program that will be effective and help people in the community. So there are answers out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think right now there are being efforts being made, but at the same time, there are the forces that be, especially our Republican legislatures that are fighting back at every chance, even with the voter suppression bills that they've been voting into law to make it harder for people of color to vote.
Absolutely.
So it's you know, it's everything. You know, we don't get a break. You know, we
no,
can't take a day off.
They don't want us anywhere. I wonder where they think they would be if we weren't around. They'd be catching ALL. We have a caller. Okay, caller, your name and where are you from?
It's TC from Detroit.
Okay, TC. Yes, I hear you.
Yeah, I think this trend started, I'm talking about maybe in the last 20 years, a trend that we have is letting our girls, making sure our girls get educated and not our boys, you know. And I'm thinking, I think about 20 years ago I got my master's degree, and like I said, there were seven females, and I was the only one black guy in there. And as I looked, as I looked around, like I said, the ladies were taking care of business, you know, no doubt about it. They were taking care of business. And I guess it was maybe 20 years ago, the car company that I worked for, I don't want to say the name because somebody might be asking. No. they went around and they asked, they said, if anybody want to go to school, we will pay you your full check.
Oh,
all you have to do is, go to school in an area where, they listed them, number of subjects that, you can get in. You never have to come to work. Get your full paycheck.
Wow.
Okay. You know how many black people took that?
Not a lot.
Oh, one.
I told
you,
not a lot. Not a lot. I knew it. I knew it.
Only one. And
you
know what some of the excuses was? Oh, that might mess with my bowling. I'm like,
Were you the only person?
No, they wouldn't let me. By that time, I was trying to work on my PhD, so they weren't going to go there for me. I asked, and of course they said nope. It would just surprise me how many people come up with excuses of why not to do something.
Bowling?
Because if they went to school, they would only be in school probably 3 days a week, and at the most probably what? If they took a full, 12 units, maybe what, 2 or 3 hours every other day or something like that?
Okay, right.
And they thought that was, that was too inconvenient of their time. And I was like, I don't understand.
Wow.
Somebody, if they gonna give you your full paycheck, that's like getting paid for doing nothing.
Wow!
I told you didn't have to come to work.
Nope, don't even have to show up to work till you get your degree.
Wow, that would have been perfect.
Well,
hey,
that's a whole nother show right there.
I always say you're always as good as your last mistake. That's the way the world works.
Hmm.
You can be good for 20 years, and that one day you make that one mistake.
Right.
They never asked you about those 20 years. Right?
Hmm.
So you're always only as good as your last mistake.
I wonder how many of them at some point in time thought about it and said, wow, I should have taken advantage of that.
Well, I think because they were making probably about $50,000 or so a year down here. So I guess a lot of people think, why should I go any further? Because I'm already comfortable, where I'm at.
Yeah.
So, you only get a certain group.
That's the problem.
That,
That's the problem. We get comfortable. And then we don't want to do anything.
Problem is we get comfortable with nothing. That's the problem,
But that's it. Sometimes, when you want to go after something, it's kind of scary. But, you have to do it. I mean, if you fall down, what you got to do? You got to get up.
Right. Well, time, people don't realize that time is going to turn no matter what you do.
Yeah.
So I always tell them it's best to be smart, when time passes by. Because after those 20 years go by and you're ready to retire or whatever, it's too late to try to do something in your last 2 or 3 years,
what I find
a lot of people try to do,
Yeah.
They mess around for 28 years, the last 2 years, they're going to try and save everything, and wonder why. But I think that's one thing we have to do. We have to look at our boys a lot differently to get them to, you know, get motivated to do something. Because,
yeah.
You know, I got a cousin. We used to go down south for Thanksgiving dinner. And I asked her, I said, you know, you're the only girl, and while we're watching football, you're back in the kitchen cooking. I said, how do you consider that a Thanksgiving for you? You know, and she's like, hey, that's all they let me do. So, you know, so we have to kind of rethink, you know, what we're going to do with our boys, and as well as, you know, the girls too. But I said, most girls are dynamic anyway.
Motivated.
Yeah. And if you look at TV on all these news stations, you see all these beautiful black women, and you know they're running, they're lawyers, doctors, and you know TV. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Like, wow, I didn't know we had that many dynamics. I knew we had a lot, but then all the girls in my family is fantastic. They just blow me away. some of the other the other agenda, you know, they don't. They don't try to match up with them, you know. And so I don't know if that's a thing because of how we treat our boys or what, you know.
I think that it can be. I think that black females are less threatening to white men as well. I don't think that black women, unless your name is Stacey Abrams, you know, I don't think, you know, on a whole, white men are afraid of black women, you know, because they used to, you know, rape them and do everything they wanted to them, you know, at a certain period of time. And right now, I don't think they really respect women in general. And
well,
so,
of course.
Yeah, you know, and so, and like you say, there's a saying that, you know, mothers love their sons but raise their daughters. So, you know, just to what you were saying. So I think that. And then, you know, on the show where we talked about the Willie Lynch theory and we talked about, you know, the raising of the family and, you know, creating the fear in the black woman by, you know, traumatizing them by seeing what they do, you know, to black men, could very well be part of the problem now where, you know, the fear of, you know, how you raise a black man, you know, or a strong black man. And then, you know, we have to have black males in the household. Well, you know, daddy.
That's true.
We have to have black male mentors, you know, to show young men how to be men. And I think that, you know, with the mass incarceration and taking, you know, the black men out of the community and out of the home, that has helped to perpetuate things over the past 30, 40 years. Where there has been, you know, black women running the households.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we've got a number of issues, and I think, I don't think it's by accident. I think, you know, most of them are by design, and I think that they're working just like a well-oiled machine, and I think it's just a matter of being able to identify them and do something about them, but you know, where do you start? It's been generations and generations of the same thing. So you get so inbred in this dysfunction. You know, I guess you grow old and die, and then the next generation comes on and, you know, comes behind you, and, you know, what do they do about it?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. It's a fun thing. I think it was Martin talking about after a race begins, you know, it's hard to catch up if you get somebody half a lap on you before you get a chance to take off. You know, that it's automatically fixed race. I think that's one of the things that we have to, as people look at, to see now. We know we're behind, right? So what are the steps that I have to do to catch up and then to pull ahead of what's going on? You know.
Okay.
It was about 5 years ago, they interviewed, there was something going on in Cleveland, and they interviewed a couple of gang members, and the lady asked him, well, what do you see your future? He says, well, I get up every morning, I eat, I go out for a while, then I die. She said, but no, what is your plan? I just told you, I get up, I eat, I go outside, and then I die. You know, there's no plans or whatever, you know, because they're gang members. I mean, you know, they know their life that long, you know, just by the environment that they're in.
Okay, well, we have another caller.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, caller, your name and where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from the Midwest and the South, St. Louis area.
Okay.
You know, I was about to talk about Ferguson, where blacks that moved there back in the 60s escaping crime, and that from the city of St. Louis, especially North City. Now they're up and moving again. They're moving across the Missouri River into St. Charles County. St. Charles County is about 95% white, and the police department is either in the 90s are all white. If blacks are so scared of whites and white police, why when they flee black crime, they run the white communities? In Chicago, in less than a year, it'll be a year this coming Memorial Day next month, there's been 4,400, count them, 4,400 blacks shot by other blacks, with 682 murders, no white police shootings. So I ask, who is the enemy?
Wait a minute. Repeat that for me.
What, the number?
I'll write this down. Yes.
4,400. The sources is the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times and AB7 Chicago newspapers.
Okay.
The reason I started keeping up with it, you remember the last year around Memorial Day when they had shootings where the hospitals had to close their doors?
Yeah.
Remember those stories? Well, you know, that was astonishing to me. So guess what I done? I said, you know, I'm going to keep track of this. On May the 25th, 2020, it was 50 shot and 10 dead. Hospitals had to close their doors.
Wow.
So what I do for the last, since that date, I've been keeping track, according to the newspapers, of the number shot and the number killed. And no white police shooting. Now, when the white police shoot, like they did the kid in the alley, it's separately reported. So as I said before, it ain't white folks that's causing these problems.
Mm-hmm.
You got elements within black society that blend in that's causing these problems. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. I hate to say this like this. I think black families get rid of or put their members of their family, I guess you would call it black sheep, for sacrifice in order to get these big these settlements.
You really think that? You really think?
What did you say?
I think
settlement.
It's a what?
I think that the members in these black families, like this last young man, Antonio Brown, who dropped out of school, had a long rap sheet that was over 108 pages long, dealing in drugs and everything else. He was a black sheep. He wasn't nothing going to come out of him. If it would have, it would have by now.
Oh.
Same thing with George Floyd. They don't like to talk about these people's past. Well, when you go to get car insurance, what do? They look up your driver's record. If
well,
you try
you know,
to get
I'm
a job with the post office, what do? They send people
I'm
out in the community and do a character reference on you.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you on, you know, people sacrificing, you know, their family.
Their children.
To get settlements. You know, I think that, you know, it's
well, that's
a whole
the first
lot of white
thing they
people.
Ask
it's
for.
A whole lot of, well, I mean, you know, if you've been unjustly wrong, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, if you can file a civil suit, I'd do it too. Now, maybe you wouldn't. I mean, if you know, if you had something unjust happen to you, maybe you would, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question on that civil suit. When people run into your car and tear it up, don't have no car insurance, do you file civil suits against them?
I file a suit against my insurance company. It depends
no.
on the injury.
If you just have, for instance, what the state requirements are, financial responsibility as far as liability is concerned, not comprehensive.
Okay.
So
right.
if they don't have liability insurance to cover for the damage they do to your car, do you
right.
file lawsuits against them?
Well, I mean, it hasn't happened to me. I don't know. So, I mean, if that was the case, I possibly could or my insurance company could go after them for restitution. So I don't know that I would. Now,
well, your insurance company only goes at it if you got full coverage. But what I'm saying is this. That should apply with everybody. So I'm saying that the first
you're talking
thing
apples,
that
you're talking
these,
apples and oranges.
No, it's no,
talking,
it's about the loss
talking,
of property.
You're talking
an
accident.
Just what it
well,
is.
You're talking an accident, a loss of property, and a loss of life are two different things. You know, so comparing, you know, an accident and suing somebody civilly to somebody being murdered and going after suing them civilly or, you know, even if we're talking police departments, police killing black unarmed black people.
Well, if they do it, it's justifiable. I mean, think about it. Unarmed, the case with the young man in Minneapolis, I think it was. I can't think of his name. They got in his car and drove off. The lady thought she had a taser, and
oh,
she
yeah.
had a gun. That man was resisting arrest, and he had a felony warrant on him. When she drew it up, when she pulled it up on the computer, it came back a felony warrant with gun cases, weapon cases.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when a police officer runs somebody's plate, and it comes back with information like that, they're going to
yeah.
do either one or two things. They're going to call for backup, and then when they approach that car, they're going to have their gun out. They ain't going to have no taser out.
Yes,
well, I mean,
sure.
nobody's disputing that. I mean, I agree with that. If I was a cop, I'd be. But that's not why they say they stopped him. You know, I've heard they said they stopped him because he had air freshener in the window, and well, they stopped
it
him.
It was blocking the view,
else.
Which is a public safety. Yes,
they
you're absolutely
say
right.
That was against the law.
Yes, it is.
Hanging
is
every time you go somewhere, you see somebody that has that the little tag that hangs, you know, that tells you I
you know
may
what else
be
you
crippled
see?
Or something. What?
You know what else you see? You see people driving on paper tags that's over a year expired. And that's supposed to help them and allow them to drive until they can pay the sales tax. But you got some that say, the hell with it, I ain't paying nothing. And they drive on paper tags while you driving, which your license plate's legal. Now, if they driving on paper tags that's expired, that means they don't have any car insurance.
I mean, not only that, I mean, then they need to be stopped and ticketed, you know, and
be
here.
The car should
be
impounded.
I mean, all that. So, I mean, but that doesn't give them the right to kill them. You know,
well,
because
yeah,
they happen to stop them and their tags are bold. I mean, you know, I'll talk about my experience, you know. Back when I was 25, you
mm-hmm.
know, in the suburbs, you know, my tags had expired. And I got pulled over by the police and, you know, white police in a white jurisdiction. You know, the jurisdiction used to be called East Detroit. But they were so prejudiced, they changed the name to East Point.
Yeah.
But they took me to jail and wouldn't tell me where I was at or allow me to make a phone call to get out. And so, you know, and this is just because my tags were expired. Now, at this point, I had just had a daughter that was 12 days old. So that's why I remember this so vividly. So, you know, I continue to knock on the door, you know, asking to make a phone call so that I can move this process along and get up out of here. You know, the jail is cold. They got the air conditioning off. You know, they take your shoelaces, so, you know, so you can't hang yourself in jail.
And how you going to hang yourself with shoelaces?
And so, you know, what happened was, you know, two officers came to the door putting on rubber gloves and pushed me and told me if I kept making that noise, you know, one of them told me to hit him. You know, he said, go ahead and hit me. Go ahead. I know you want to hit me, you know. So they would, you know, at that point I would have been another story.
Yeah, absolutely right.
You know.
That's
and
right.
Them cops need to be, did not need to be in that position. There are a lot of them out there that's like that, but the vast majority of them do the right thing. And you know the good thing about with you, guess what? You complied.
I did. Now, you know, I had a knife under my seat. You know, they confiscated my knife and, you know, said it was too large or whatever. But, I mean, yeah, I complied. But, you know, I had to fake a medical emergency before I was able to get a phone call. And I think it just happened to be shift change. So I think it was different personnel that were working, you know, that didn't want a problem. And, you know, at that point, I was able to, you know, find out where I was at. And, you know, my folks came and got me out. But that was just because
good.
Of an expired tag.
You complied. But, you know, I've heard of areas in Detroit where the police put up signs say, enter at your own risk.
Well, I've been in Detroit a long time, and I haven't seen those signs.
I haven't
you know.
Seen
I
have, that.
I have never seen a sign that said
that. Was about two or three years ago.
You got to go back further than that. I've been here for 66.
The police ain't doing all that. I mean, there's places
yeah,
that
stop,
you are.
You know, I built a building. I'm a structural steel erector. There's a building on Highway 75. Either across from the highway patrol or next to the highway patrol. I erected that building. I was a structure steel erector, a black person. Erected that building back. It had to be in 73 or 74. I forget what year it was. And I guess 75 is still there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's still
there. And I guess the highway patrol is still there. I don't know.
I can't think
75
of
what?
Do you remember 75 where at on 75 goes
the only thing road. I remember it was a highway patrol station either across the road a little bit down the road, but the building we put up was about 15 stories.
Well, they've changed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't picture where that particular area is, but yeah, there's areas in Detroit that you know you don't want to go in the daytime.
That was when they had
nighttime.
Devil's Night. They had Devil's Night back during that time.
Yeah, that was you know the night before Halloween. And there were a lot of fires at that point. But you know you have to understand
that was quite
a lot. Yeah, a lot of those fires were committed by white people, that were leaving the city, burning their property so they could get their insurance money. But, you know,
I knew another guy there in Detroit.
So
he was a commissioner, Bernard Parker. Do you remember him, Bernard Parker? He was a commissioner.
I remember Bernard,
Yeah, I knew Bernard. Karen McGowan, Joanne Watson used to be on your city council.
Okay. Yeah, now have you always stayed down in St. Louis area and just worked up here, or you lived here for a while?
No, I didn't ever live there. I was doing that project
for
Bethlehem Steel. They paid my
travel
there. They paid my accommodation. My wife had an aunt that stayed there on some street, and she came up there, and we stayed at the aunt's house. But okay. Anyway, what I'm getting at is that people today don't respect authority. They don't respect authority at the house, at school, and it works out in the public. And, I mean, that's just what we see. And that's, you know, like I said before, that when blacks flee, and this ain't all blacks. You got segments in the population. In every ethnic group around the world, you got that.
That's true.
In the black community, you got people that just don't give a care. And they will mingle in with those who try to do the right thing, and they will prey on them. And,
you know,
that's not...
I agree with that. I mean, there are people that are out here looking for opportunities to take somebody else's stuff. You know, no doubt I've been a victim. You know, but then when you go to the systemic things in society, they, you know, not only have they taken the money out of schools, you know, which affects the education in the urban areas, but they have also taken money away from mental health and closed the mental health hospitals. So,
yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
The people that are dealing with mental health issues, there's no place for them to receive help. So they're on the streets, so, you know, or with the family members raising hell. So, you know, you call the police and now you got another situation because you've got somebody with a mental health issue. And so it's a vicious cycle. You know, it's a vicious cycle. You've got that, and I mean, it's just, you know, where do you start? You know, where do you start?
Well, before you start is with your children. You have to make sure you sit your children down, try to expose them to as much as you possibly can, direct them into those things that's going to lead to a productive life for them, and don't let the system, the schools, educate them. You know, one of the reasons I came to Detroit. Because I was a member of National Black United Front, which had a worked out a Sheikh community center up there in Detroit, Karen McGowan, and like I said, Joanne Watson. And we came there one year and videotaped some schools. One was Malcolm X, the other was Paul Robeson, Timbuktu, and Inseroma. And
okay.
Because we
okay.
were interested in the successful things that they was doing there. You know, back in the 90s, you had a guy by the name of Clifford Watson that kicked off some changes in the way black males was being educated. And, of course, you know, when Malcolm X opened up that building in that white community, whites stood on the side and walking through rocks at the buses as they brought the kids there. Members of the Nation of Islam stood around the building during the day to protect it. So, yes, all those things went on.
Well, you know, it's,
I remember Claude Anderson wanted to have an African town, and I
yeah.
think it was your board. Kwame and them didn't want to have it.
Right.
And the
yeah.
Arabs didn't want it either. And the Asians, they said, we already selling blacks what they need. Why do they want to go through
yeah.
that trouble themselves?
Well, they shot it down for sure. They shot it down. They wasn't about to do that. Just
yeah,
like in Oklahoma when they messed up all the black folks that had whatever their businesses were in Oklahoma. You see what
yeah.
they did to them. So, you know, they don't want us to have anything for sure.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, ma'am. Anytime I have talked on the educational issues, it wasn't white folks that didn't want that. It was blacks that didn't want it. The administration, the politicians, for sure, because they influenced by the teachers' unions heavily. And you got to educate your kids. You know, in 2019, you had a convention there at the Cabot Center for the National Society of Black Engineers. You had over 15,000 black STEM students at that annual conference. Heck, you had Lockheed Martin hire over 400 black STEM students right off the convention floor.
Mm.
2 years before that in a row, you had Grumman, a Mississippi-based company, hire 400 2 years in a row, not including the other that was there. So the opportunities exist. We just have to prepare your chair before.
Yeah.
I don't know of any other way. But I don't even want to
yeah,
take up
right.
y'all time.
That's
y'all ain't
okay.
got nothing to eat, so I'm getting ready to leave.
Okay,
well, we appreciate you calling.
Yeah.
All right, you take care.
Have a good evening. You too. Bye-bye. Okay, so that was a good one. And did you what did you think, Tom? TC?
The gentleman had a lot of good information. But some of the things, you know, and you have to really go back, I think, in history to kind of look at why things happen. You know, why are black people killing black people? It just wasn't a start because, you know, I remember in the 60s, I guess it was bad because of the drugs they got into the city, you know. But you can always trace stuff back. If you start tracing things back, you'll find out once drugs were introduced in the system to blacks specifically, I think that's when everything really, really turned in a different direction. Because you had a lot of
Well, let me ask you this now. What do you think about this legal marijuana? What do you think about that?
I never tried it, so I have no clue.
Well, I think that was a mistake, that we don't need our kids to be able to, you know, just go and stand in line, because that's exactly what they do, and buy the cookies.
They're
going to
get it from somewhere else anyway. I mean,
I know, but now you're making
it
public.
Because I don't smoke it, because like I said, the jobs I've had with, like, say, with one company out on the proving ground, if you come in there and get in an accident, okay, the first thing they do is they draw your blood. Now, how can you say, well, I didn't smoke that joint here. I smoked that joint when I was at home. You know what I mean? Because once you get in that accident and once they find out you have something in your system, that multiplies this lawsuit by at least three. Because there was a thing that nobody ever died facility. They took the doctor from there, and you had to go to the hospital and be pronounced dead if something happened. That way they don't get, their liability is less. Okay?
Mm.
So now, if you got somebody that's high, even if it's not their fault, somebody runs into the back of them while, you know, on a test track, you know, it becomes a lot of money. But we have had people out there that, I remember we had one kid, Michigan State kid, came out his first day to work with us, got in the car with an engineer, was headed to a part of the track. The guy lost control of the Corvette, decapitated the kid on his first day there. The engineer gets out of the car, walks back up to admin, and have a heart attack inside admin. So now think of if any one of those persons were, you know, tested and had something in their system. And so, you know, there's certain things I think you can get by. If you got an office job, maybe you can get by with smoking a joint or something. But, certain jobs, I mean, would you like a bus driver or airplane pilot? You know, smoking a joint before he gets ready to take off.
He got a card.
He got
a medical card. He got a medical card.
But that ain't gonna help you.
You're right. You're right.
So, because, like I said, there's a lot of kids, especially little kids, that's going to school smelling like weed. Because they're in a car when their family don't smoke it in front of them. But anytime, you know, you could pass through a house with somebody smoking it, and by the time you get on the other side, you're going to smell like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
Right.
Then what are you doing to that kid, you know? you know, he goes to school and teachers say, wow, you know, I know what kind of house he comes from.
Right.
So, you know,
well, you know,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the legalization of marijuana, I think it's been long overdue because we've got a lot of black and brown people that in jail for minor drug possession and doing a lot of time. And so I don't think that, you know, you got a joint in your car and, you know, you got to go to jail for 5 years to get, you know, 5 years.
But I don't think they will do that now.
No, and that's the reason why I think legalization is, you know, about time and overdue. I mean, it definitely hasn't, with it not being legal, hasn't deterred anybody from smoking it. I mean, everybody know where to get it. If you want it.
Well, you know, that was one of the things the police department said. They were trying to get more people from Detroit, but they couldn't get anybody to pass the drug test.
You mean
that's what I heard. That's terrible.
Yeah.
If you can't find, would you like to have that guy out there, you know, on his route, you know, no telling what he would possibly do, you know. So, you know, it's good in certain places and it's bad in others. So, but my theory has always been I've always wanted to be under the control no matter what I do.
Right.
You know, because the one time you lose control will be the one time you get caught.
That's true. I don't know. I mean, I heard the same thing as far as people not being able to pass drug tests. I just think that is, I mean, ridiculous isn't a harsh enough word, you know, to, you know, express the fact that people are willing to affect their livelihood. And a lot of these people, you know, don't have anything better going for them in the first place, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Or they wouldn't be applying for their job anyway, you know. And their education, you know, is probably high school or less, unfortunately, you know. And so the big three in Michigan, you know, Detroit specifically, made the middle class, you know, where you could graduate from high school and you know, make six figures. And so I don't know. I just think it's real unfortunate if, you know, that many people are unable to pass a drug test to get a job. I'm not saying it's not true, but I heard the same thing. I think that's I think it's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, you know, we had this one young lady, one white girl that was working out there, and she actually quit her job because she said she wanted to be able to smoke her weed on the weekend and not have a chance on getting, you know, getting fired. Because sometimes
so she quit her job.
Yeah, she quit her job.
Well, she probably didn't need the money. You know, she probably was just working to be working. You know, that was something for her to do, you know. You know.
That makes no sense.
I mean, yeah, that's that privilege.
Who knows what people do? Yeah.
Granddaddy got that trust fund for you.
I don't know what she had.
Oh, crap. Okay.
She went out working at a gas station somewhere out in Milford.
Just at a gas station.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
she was just a hippie then.
Yeah. Well, I had a cousin like that. I got him out to Warren Truck. And this was back in, had like 72, 73. And his only job was to put those two little spacers on the top of the rear door, two on the top and two on the bottom. He worked out there for about a month, then he quit. He said, I ain't going to die working in no factory. I was like, you ain't doing nothing, you know. And you know where he went to work at? In a gas station. I'm like, I don't understand that. You know, I don't understand. You're going to get a perfectly good job, but you have these theories about, you know, working in a factory or whatever. But like I tell people, GM and Ford and Chrysler, they have many jobs that you would never, ever think of. Because when I got out of the service and I came back and I called this lady every day, do you have anything for me? Do you have anything for me? And one day she said, I'm tired of you calling me. She said, I'm going to find you a job today.
Oh,
she said,
wow.
Have you ever test drove cars? I said, test drove cars? She said, yeah. And the only thing I thought of was those dummies that you see in that thing that runs into the
right.
wall, right?
Right.
So I said, well, I ain't got to run into the wall. And she said, no. But I'm saying, I never knew that type of job existed.
Okay.
See what I mean? So there's a lot of things out there that these
That's
companies
true.
Offer, but we don't take the time, you know, we just don't know about
don't
what
take
it
advantage.
Is.
Well, a lot of times,
right.
you know, you just don't take advantage. I heard recently about Chrysler trying to get drivers. You know, they
mm-hmm.
just wanted you to drive the car, I guess, to put it on the
probably
whatever.
Direct, probably put
yeah.
it on the rail to ship it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how you know, I started to come out of retirement and go get that. I mean, how much could that hurt? All I got to do is get on there and drive a car. Oh, mm-mm, no. But anyway.
Just one quick one. When I got out there, they had just had maybe four or five blacks, you know, out at the proving ground, right? So they were trying to hire, you know, more black people out there, right? I ain't going to say no names, but anyway, I go to the church and I tell them, I say, hey, I can get you on, you know, out at the proving grounds, you know, making X amount of dollars a day. You know what they told me? You going to pick me up and take me there? I said, I beg your pardon?
Are
wow.
you serious? They didn't
yes,
even want to.
I'm serious.
Oh, man.
I
take
am
the
serious.
Time. Well, they didn't want
you know,
a job. They
well,
didn't
they,
want
you know,
a job.
A lot of people think of the automobile industry. They think of a factory, and factories aren't bad. I mean, factories now are so easy. You know, my first job was putting those, you know how they used to make those vans, those campers, right? So
okay.
I'm 125 pounds, right? They put me over there and said, you have to put the front wheel, which is a metal wheel, right, full of air, and I got to lift it up just about even with my head, you know, with my eyesight, you know, from the ground. Those things weighed at least 95 pounds apiece.
Wow.
Right? And my mom said, never turn down a job. So you know what I did? I went up there, that first tire, I fell on the floor with it, and I was rolling with the tire. And the guy said, what are you doing? I said, I can't get it up there. So I ain't going to tell you the word he used, but they stuck me somewhere else. Because my mom said, never turn down a job. Never say you're not going to do it. You know, but you have to have, you know what I mean? You have to have the will and common sense. But nowadays, they can't lift no more than 5 pounds. Back then, you know, all that automation and stuff wasn't there.
Right.
So, you know, it's a whole different world now.
Yeah, a lot less humans, too.
Yeah. When I was at Chrysler, there was a black plant manager. He told me, if y'all come to work, I can, you know, he can do enough, make sure that everybody stay employed and whatever. He couldn't get people to come to work. So you know what he did? He automated that whole line.
Oh, wow.
And then after you automated, oh, we would have came. Hey, it's too late now.
Wow.
You don't have to give a machine a break. You ain't got to worry about it being late.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible.
So
they
sometimes
messed
we
up
are
themselves.
Our own worst enemies.
Yes, yes, yes. That's the truth. Yeah, okay. Well, Another episode has gone down, and this is the end of April. Tomorrow is the 1st of May. It's almost the middle of the year. I don't know where you guys have been, but it just seems to me that the time is running by, not taking its time, just running by. So it'll be Christmas in a minute. And maybe, just maybe, this Christmas will be different with the vaccine and everything. Maybe it'll be different. So, but at any rate, I thank you guys for coming. I appreciate the conversation. And, you know, you learn something every time. So the only thing I have to say tonight is have a fantastic weekend. Wear your mask if you're going out. And be safe and wash your hands and just make sure, you know, you're doing what you would want to do. And with that having been said, I will say good night. And this has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. And I say good night.
Good night.